Welcome. It's good to be here once again. We made it through the week, right? Praise Jesus for that. It's hot. It don't take much to just walk outside for a few minutes. You start sweating, right? It's going to be a hot summer. It will be. Today, we're going to be in John 14. 18 through 26. That's John 14. 18 through 26. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yeah, a little while. And the world see me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that love me. He that love me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. I will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make abode with him. He that love me not, keep not my sayings, and the words which he hears not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he which shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come today, breathing in and breathing out the week, whatever things we had to go through this week, wherever trials or tests or challenges that we face, we know that you are the master of the storms. We know there's comfort within your presence. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in each and every one of your children. Lord, thank you for that presence within that storm. To know that if we just get out of the way and we just let you take over, there will be a peace. There will be a joy in the midst of that storm. We'll be able to cling to the hope that we have in Jesus, the hope of our salvation, the hope that this life is only temporary. It's only temporary. It's gone like a flash. We come into this world with nothing. We will leave this world only thing that we'll take with us is our soul. And if we're a child of God, our soul is yours. If we're not, then our soul is for Satan and his demons to be tortured for the rest of our lives. Lord, let's cling to the truth of the gospel. Let's cling to that hope. Let's cling to all these truths that you present to us as children of God, even the hard ones. God, I pray over our nation, Lord, in this time of turmoil and chaos. We are living in the days of Lot. They call good evil and evil good. Their imaginations are polluted by Satan's hand. They are blinded to the truth and they don't want to hear it. The sad truth is drifted into most of the churches in America. a compromise gospel, a compromise, a lukewarm, a indifference, that gospel that does not represent the Bible and what it means to be a child of God, what it means to pick up our cross and follow you daily, to deny ourselves, to beat our flesh in submission every day, to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. God, I pray as this message goes out, I pray it reaches the ears, it penetrates the heart, it motivates, encourages for us to go out there and to be your hands and to be your feet in the ministry that you have laid out for us. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we look at John here. And salvation. You know, what hurts my heart is how many cannot even explain what salvation is. To a person out in the street. You see, God has somebody out there every day, every week for us to talk to. Be it on social media or in person, there is somebody, I promise you, to tell about Jesus. But the problem is do we know how to explain it? Do we know how to expound through the Scripture what salvation is? Sad truth is today in the pulpits of America, you will see a version of salvation. It is not the true salvation that Jesus tells us in the Bible is a partial truth. It's a watered down version of the truth. That is, when it goes out, people hear and they love it and massages their ears and they like it because it makes them feel comfortable. I want to tell you, we are supposed to be uncomfortable because we are not supposed to be of this world. We are supposed to be separate. We are not supposed to conform to this world. As we look at John 14, 18, you know, that one part of that verse here. See, Jesus hits us with truths. Even the hard truths. In this section here where it says, if a man love me. And of course, when he says man, he's speaking of a man and woman collectively. He or she will keep my words. He will keep and she will keep my words. What is he speaking of words here? He's speaking of logos, the written word of God. He will keep my commandments. We know Jesus tells us, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Two commandments he hits on. He said, if you love me, with everything you've got, your heart, soul, and mind, if you love me with everything you've got, you will keep my commandments. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, if we could love others as much as we love ourselves, we would be accomplishing a lot of things for the name of Christ. Because we can love ourselves very much. But that word, and my Father will love him. He will come unto him and make our abode with him. And if he that love me not, keeps not my saying. So here's what Jesus said. If you love me, you will follow my word. If you don't love me, you will not follow my words. You have a choice. Which one do you want to take? You see, we cling to the words of the gospel, everything that's written in our Bible is without error. It is the Word of God. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit and man to write the Bible. It was God that moved through them to write every word that's in our Bible. Don't let nobody tell you that the Bible is full of errors and that it is not inspired by God. And trust me, that's going on. They will look at Paul's writings and they'll say, hey, you know, that wasn't Jesus speaking, that was Paul speaking. No, God moved through Paul to write the words, and the words are just as important as the gospel. It's all important from Genesis to Revelations. Every word is important. We have to cling to the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God. And when we're looking at salvation, salvation is from Genesis to Revelations. To understand what salvation is, we have to read it all. So what is salvation, right? Is salvation just saying a little prayer? A sinner's prayer? Maybe you guys experienced that. Say this little prayer for me. Bow your heads. Say this little prayer. Raise it up. Oh, you're all saved now. You're a part of the kingdom of God. Come on, let's dunk you in the water. Show me in Scripture where Jesus says, say this little prayer and you are saved. He does the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer, but that's different. Does he say, oh, saying to say this little prayer? No. He speaks of us coming where our hearts wide open, where our minds wide open, seeking truth from the gospel and to know more about Him and what it means to be saved. Romans 10, 8 through 10 and 11 tells us, confess, believe. That's where we get the invitation from. We confess and believe what? We confess Jesus. We confess that He is the Son of God. That God sent Him down to this earth. John 3, 16, 17, 18, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal, everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved, might be saved. And he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But as those who believe not, they are condemned already because they do not believe in the only name of the begotten Son of God. They do not believe in Jesus. They do not believe that He is the Son of God. And then they don't believe that He was crucified, put on that cross. They don't believe He was rose from the grave. They will say that is myth. That is fantasy. That is fables. But I'll tell you, our Bible is more accurate, or just as accurate, any history textbook you pick up. It passes the same historical reliability and validity test that a book from a historian, or who was the first president, who was the second president, World War I, II. We read it, we weren't there. Some of us, you know, older people, there might be some still alive that went through World War II. But I'll tell you, you look at the Vietnam War, you look at all these wars, they're gone. We read about them and we believe that exists, but we were not there. So we believe, but then when it comes to the Bible, whoa, we can't believe that. No. But I can tell you, the Bible passes the same historical tests that they would place on any secular historical book out there. Our Bible is the Word of God. It is reliable. It is valid. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to make us, wants people to attack and say, that is a fairy tale. I don't believe in that. And then you ask them about history, but oh, I believe that. And you ask them this. Were you there? I've done that before. Well, no, I wasn't there. So you believe that? Yes.
I said, why do you believe that?
Well, it was written. Okay. And then it's over with. We have to answer those hard questions. See, Jesus did not shy away from hard questions. And we should not shy away from hard questions. I encourage hard questions. It's sad that when you... And I was raised in several churches as a child and coming to faith in Jesus. And I had questions. But I would go to the spiritual leaders of that congregation, ask them questions. And it looked like I slapped them upside the face because they did not want to answer it. And today, if a person in the pulpit don't encourage hard questions, or they want to run out the door as fast as they can, or some of the bigger mega churches, it's like they got a secret service detail. As soon as church over, you got 20 people around them with intercoms. You know, they may have guns now. I don't know. You ain't getting to our pastor. Heaven forbid you ask him a question and he can't answer it. It ain't happening. We're not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to encourage to ask those difficult questions. And because of that, I encourage questions. Any questions. A lot of you guys can hit me. Got my phone number. You can call me. If you like social media, you can hit me on social media. There is no reason. If a question comes up, you can't contact me. And I can't respond to you. We are supposed to encourage those difficult questions. See, that moving away from that allows the enemy to step in. I can tell you from my story, I wanted to ask those questions and they couldn't answer them. So I went to that world. I went out. And I guarantee you, Satan, his demonic hosts were way ready to fill me up with lies. And they did. They gave me answers, although they were false and they were lies. I clung to them and I walked away from God. 20 plus years running, filling my heart with darkness. It's only by the grace of God and the mercy that I'm here preaching today. I should be dead or in prison. I was in some dark alleys where I met Heather. And things that I should have done. But God's hand was in motion to stop those things that were criminal. And that could have got me thrown. And I ain't talking about a little local jail. I'm talking about in the pen. The federal jail. That's how dark I was. And when God placed my wife in my life, I pulled away from that. Although I kept doing things in the sense of alcohol and drugs and pornography and all this other stuff I was filling my heart with. But I didn't think it was wrong because how the devil had blinded my mind at that point. It took a divine hand of God to slap me so hard. And I thank Him for that. To a point where I ended up laying there with nothing that I pictured was important. That I thought was important was gold. He had to remove all of that. I had to lay there in my misery, in my pity, in my hopelessness as the darkness swelled up inside. If we don't answer hard questions, especially our children, our teenagers, even our young adults, maybe some older individuals, I don't know. They will go out there and they will ask the world, and the world, which is this is Satan's world, he will gladly oblige the lies. See, God is light. For God is the light of the world, right? And Satan is darkness. And these two are contrary to each other. follow God's word or don't. Accept the light. Accept the darkness. But when we come to Christ, we confess and we believe. We believe in a God that sent His Son to die for our sins. We accept that He had to die on that cross. He had to bleed out for us, for the blood and the atonement. You can find that in Romans 5, 1 through 18. It tells us the blood of atonement there. Romans is beautiful. I encourage you to read Romans. And He was placed in that tomb. He rose that third day. And He was seen by many. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. And other places in the Bible. But you can go to those scriptures and you can cling to them. He was rose from the dead. He was seen by many. And we know that here He tells us that He will give us a comforter. The Holy Spirit that will come to us when He is gone. But He will come back. For that first truth is this. Do you accept that? Do you believe that? Or do you don't want to accept that? You don't want to believe it. And the thing is here. The other truth is sin. Sin does not want to be talked about. In the pulpit, sin is a word that it has to be discussed. That needs to be expounded. Why? Because the gospel expounds that. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that know to do good and do it not, to him it is a sin. That's really simple. But if, you know, we're like, oh, I need a list. Well, Scripture has plenty to list here. Galatians 5:18-21. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. These are the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, as such like, which I tell you before, as I told you in time past. Paul saying, I told you this. Why? Because the Holy Spirit pressed it on his heart, because Jesus was preaching against it. I have told you in time past, they that which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot constantly live in that state of sin and be happy without the conviction and the chastisement of the Holy Spirit on your heart. You can't be a Christian homosexual. A lifestyle of sin and sin and sin. Sex before marriage, that is sin. Your sex in marriage is sanctified by God. And to go off and do that and not be convicted by the Holy Spirit is a sign that you are not a child of God, because He chastens, He corrects. Romans 1:21-32 says this, because that when they knew God, they glorify Him not as God. They glorify Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, to the birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to a vile affections. For even the women changed the natural use into which is against nature. And likewise also men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one another, man with man, working that with unseemly receiving themselves the repentance of that error which was meant, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignance, whispering, biting, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covet breakers without natural affections, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that which they commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. What's going on here? They hear a preacher, a man of God, a servant of God, saying these things, and they hear them. And they hear about their sin, but it goes out of one ear, out of the other. They do not glorify God truly. They want a life where they can live in their sin. And we're seeing it across America. We see people that want to be saved in their sin. And God tells us we are supposed to be saved away from our sin. Because why? Sin is darkness. God is light. Darkness can't exist in light. The light will shine it out. They want their best life now. They want to keep sinning and sinning. We would call that dirty grace. We would call that a license for sin, a license for morality. And I'm telling you, a lot of churches are preaching that. They will tell you it's okay. Keep doing what you're doing. You can still live in that state of immorality and you're still a child of God. But they cannot prove that in the scriptures. They will actually go away from the scriptures. Start asking them questions. So show me where that's in the Bible. And you see they start stumbling. You know there's something up. Because a man of God up here, should the Word of God is precious to him. As it, the Word of God should be precious to each and every one of us out there. To be able to expound on the gospel, but a man of God up here cannot even explain what salvation is. There's problems with him. How can he teach and preach others when he don't even know how to explain it himself? Revelations 21, 7 through 8. He that overcome shall inherit all things. That's beautiful. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, unbelievable, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars. Did Jesus say, oh, that little white lie? That's okay. No, he said all liars shall have their place in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That is the spiritual death. You see, sin should bring us sorrow. Not because what I'm saying. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 11 says this, now rejoice, not that ye were made sorrow, but that ye the sorrow to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow works repentance. It works repentance to salvation. Not to be printed up, the sorrow of the world works death. For behold, the selfsame thing that ye sorrow after a godly sort was carefully and wrought in you, yea, clearing yourself, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, vivid desire, yea, vil, yea, what revenge, and all things, ye have proved yourself to be clear in that manner. Meaning, our sin should leave us to sorrow, not glorifying it. Our sin should lead us to repentance. And that is another word that the church don't want to hear today. The new age, the progressive Christianity, the church that don't even look like the Bible. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about repentance because they're like, we don't have nothing to repent of. Yes, we do. By God's eyes, we are filthy. It's only through the grace and the mercy that was done at the cross that God can look on us, because when He looks on us, He sees His Son, and we truly have opened our hearts to Him. And one way to know if you truly have is when you sin, your heart is broken. Where is the brokenness of our sin? Where is it? Where is our sorrow? I encourage you to go back over these scriptures and look at this sin. Look at every word. Lord, is this in my life? Lord, is this in my life? When you sin, your heart should be broken because you're going against the Word of God. Another truth. Matthew 10:22. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He that endures to the end. He that picks up his cross, or she that follows Jesus and endures to the end. Don't say, oh, he just throws his towel in and say, I'm done. First, the Holy Spirit will grieve that person to a point of death. You don't have that option. If you can do it like that, there's something wrong with your heart, because the Scripture tells those that will endure to the end. And that's not the only place where it says that. Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Mark 13:13. And ye shall be hated of all men for my sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Saved. Enduring. Enduring. Our life is an enduring. A Christian life is an enduring life. No matter what we're hit with, we endure. For our strength does not come from us. It comes from the Lord. When we cling to our own strength, we will fail. When we cling to our own faith, we will fail. When we cling to our own hope, we will fail. It's all to Jesus. He is our strength. He is our faith. He is our hope. We cling to Him. Regardless of what we're going through, we cling. 2 Timothy 2:3. Though therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We endure. We are soldiers for Jesus. We have light and we have darkness, and we are in. When we come to Christ, we get off the playground and we step into the battlefield. We armor up. Ephesians 6, right? 10:11, 12, 13, 14. We stand in the position. We stand in His might and His power. We stand in that authority that God has given us to stand as a soldier, to press on. We cannot endure on our own. We need Jesus. We need Him. See, Satan, he will try to deceive you. And that verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. And I will come to you. And that verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, the Holy Spirit, when you confess and you believe truly, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. That is our Comforter. See, that Comforter comforts us to times we just can't get our minds around. It's when we decide to do it on our own, we lose that peace and that joy. We lose that hope. We let the spirit of fear grasp us and pull us deeper and darker into that hole. The Holy Spirit comes in our life, and He is our guiding light. He is the one that corrects us. He is the one that encourages us. He's the one that we keep on pressing on. We may not understand the things of this life and the storms of this life, but we have to press on, right? We have to keep pressing to the end. We have to endure to the end. That is salvation, pressing on. Not just say this little prayer, bow your head, all you're all saved, let's go baptize, you're going to have your best life now. No, you recognize this is a battle. You're enlisting in a battle. Do you want this world to hate you? It will. Do you want to feel uncomfortable? You will. If you don't want to, then Christianity is not for you. The true Christian in the Bible, do not recognize and you do not accept truly Christ into your heart, because you have to recognize it's a battlefield. You got to recognize you will be uncomfortable as this world grows darker and deeper against God, that will tell you that evil is good and good is evil, that will tell you to compromise who you are, from homosexuality to sex to all of it. They will tell you marriage is not important. Marriage is important. Sex before marriage is. To have sex before you get married is a sin. Marriage is important. It's been attacked for a long time. It was attacked at the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Satan seen it, he wanted to destroy it. And up to that point, he is constantly working it over. Over. When we recognize and we just lose that fantasy, we recognize a Christian life can be a hard life, but it's okay. So we endure that hardness as good soldiers in Christ. We recognize we will have to endure things in this life for the name of Christ. And we stand regardless. See, that's the problem. These messages are not getting out. You'll see these people, hundreds come, and then that storm hits, and they all run from God instead of coming to Him, because they were lied to. They were not given the truth. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to come to Christ. That is a blessed hope. That is a hope that we cling to. This life is only temporary. When we die, it's only the beginning. Beginning one way or the other. Heaven or hell. I mean, it's really that simple. You accept truly Christ into your life. You count the cost. I'm all in. I am all in. Regardless. Or you say, no, I am not all in. I provide scripture here straight from the Word of God. It's not my opinion. It's what the Word of God says. It is what He tells us through His Word. As we were looking at the very beginning of this. He that loved me will keep my word. Will keep Jesus' word. And those who don't will not. As we're closing today. I just want to read this verse right here. these two verses, John 14, 23 through 24, it says this: Jesus answered and said to him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and will come to him, and I will make abode with him. He that love me not, keep not my sayings. The word is the word which is heard is not mine, but the Father which sent me." Check your heart. Check your mind. Have you truly gave your life to Jesus? Have you truly said, "I recognize the crucifixion. I truly recognize the burial. I truly recognize the resurrection. And I know what it means, Lord." You recognize the Holy Spirit when it comes into your life changes you. And sin is unbearable. It breaks your heart because it breaks God's heart. You can see that through Scripture. Jesus wept. He weeps now when he looks at this world and what has come to the Christian church, the supposedly Christian church. He weeps when he sees a man up here giving half-truths. He weeps when he sees those who will not accept him truly into his heart and mind. They want a gospel that's contrary to the gospel that is written in our word. Resurrection is beautiful. We will be resurrected. The dead first will be resurrected, right? Then us. In a twinkling, a moment will be changed. And we will see Jesus. Right? And the thing is, if he will know, he will know if you truly are his or not. He will truly know that if you're faking it. He truly knows if you're just walking about and doing your way. "Well, that was 1 hour, but I ain't going to follow it. I don't want to live a life that's uncomfortable. I don't want to live a life that it will cost me. I want to live a version of Christianity that this world endorses, a progressive Christianity." The Word of God is not progressive. It does not need to change. It is the same. It will not change. Our God does not change for nobody. The culture will change, but God will not change. His Word is true. All this is hard. I don't want to hear about my sin. I don't want to hear about repentance. It's all part of salvation. I don't want to hear about hell. All tell me about heaven. You got to understand hell and heaven. You got to understand both flips of the coin. Heaven is sweet. Hell is hot. And many will be going there. It blows my mind, but many are. Days of Noah, right? 8 people were saved. He said, "As the days of Noah, so will it be as the second coming of Jesus." You're there. As you got to stand,